I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
I love fighting, and I think there's unfinished business, and I've, you know, there's a couple of good people behind the scenes, and I don't have to deal with certain people, certain person anymore. So it's always nice when you don't see eye to eye with one person.
It's WrestleMania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show.
Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
All right, welcome on in to the Chris Van Vliet Show. Hope you're doing great. This episode is brought to you by Indeed and Bet Online. And, you know, the whole idea behind this podcast, the whole idea behind these interviews is deconstructing greatness. It's about finding out what makes great people so great. And getting insight into what habits they have, what routines they have that take them to that next level. And we've done a lot of MMA interviews recently. Vitor Belfort, Stipe Miocic, Ariel Helwani, you know, I guess Daniel Pewter fits into that category kind of as well. And now we've got former UFC middleweight champion Luke Rockhold with us. He stars in a new movie called Cage Fighter, which is available right now on demand. It also stars John Moxley, Christian, Chuck Liddell, and Gina Gershon. And we get into how this all came together for Luke. But if it's your first time here, now make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to this on your iPhone right now, maybe you could leave a review and a rating. It'd be so great if you could. And I'm going to keep reading one out on every single episode until we get to that goal of 2,000 reviews. This one comes from Jay, and wow, there was it's a lot of numbers after his name here. This is J591223345. Okay. We'll just call you Jay. CVV has the positivity 2020 needs. That's a nice title. Wow, thank you. CVV is a tremendous interviewer. His love for what he does and his positivity really shines through in all of his interviews. Keep doing what you're doing, CVV. Well, I have no plans to stop, Jay, and thank you so much for the review. And I'll make you a deal. I will keep doing what I'm doing, and you keep doing what you're doing. How's that sound? All right, we got ourselves a deal? Now, I call Luke Rockhold a Renaissance man during this interview, and I really think that's the best way to describe him. I mean, sure, yes, he's a UFC fighter, but he's also a model, a skateboarder, a surfer. He talks here about wrestling a steer. He was a guest on the TV show Millionaire Matchmaker. And now he's an actor. And we talk about his role in the new movie Cage Fighter. And we talk about how fighting in a movie is so vastly different from actually fighting in real life. And speaking of fighting, we talk about why he's back in the UFC. Also, I should point out that he's driving during this interview. Well, he's not driving, but he's in a car that is being driven down the freeway here. So I'm just trying to set the mood for this interview. So I'm, you know, sitting where I usually do the interviews, as you know, and he's driving. So if maybe it cuts out a little bit, you'll understand why. I believe he was driving north on the 405, which is, you know, very busy freeway in Los Angeles. So here we go. Put your hands together, my friends, for Luke Rockhold. Well, he's one of the stars of the new film Cage Fighter, which is available now. Luke Rockhold, how are you?
Doing pretty good. As good as can be. Got a current situation.
Yeah, what's going on here?
I had a string of unfortunate incidents. My pinky toe, of all things, was ruptured. The tendon was ruptured. It was subluxed and the capsule was busted. So it wasn't exactly a great situation. So I had to have it basically reconstructed my pinky toe.
Are you still able to train?
I can't really do too much right now. My shoulder's still healing up too. So the two surgeries I've had in the last 6 months, I believe. So just kind of waiting on these two to now kind of gives my shoulder more time to heal up too. So it's just work around it, keep the physical therapy going. Stay strong.
Well, I know there was talk of you wanting to have a fight, you know, in 2020. Is this going to now derail those plans?
2020 is pretty ambitious, but it shouldn't be too far off in 2021, if anything.
Well, the hope then, you know, maybe in 2021, you'll be doing this in front of a crowd too.
Yeah. Hopefully, yes, in front of a crowd. That would be like the most fortunate situation. I don't know how I feel about this fighting in front of no crowd. You know, it's kind of takes a lot away from the fight game. Scene itself, you know, you want those emotions, you want that energy and that pressure, kind of, that's what makes it all worthwhile for me.
But I heard someone make the argument recently that this is like the most pure form of combat that you could have. You know, the matches aren't being influenced by the judges aren't being influenced by the crowd's reaction to this. I mean, I suppose a case could be made for that.
Yeah, case can be made for that, but it also takes the pressure away from, you know, the people that, you know, the pressure gets to a lot of people. And that's the beauty of fighting and coming up onto that stage is being completely fearless and having big cojones, you know. When you step in front of 20,000 fans and you got to perform, you know, I think this might be easier for a lot of people.
So before the injury to your pinky toe, did you have a fight lined up? Were you heading in that direction?
We were heading in the direction. My shoulder still needed time to heal. So it was just, I don't know, everything is, I guess, a blessing in disguise. And we're just going to take that for what it is and let it heal, let everything, the body kind of come together.
Well, let's talk about this film. Cage Fighter has a stacked cast. It's you and it's Chuck Liddell and it's Gina Gershon and it's Jon Moxley. How did this all come together for you?
You know, my agency, they linked me up with a few things, and the director had known about me and you know, I was fairly open to dabbling in the movie, just seeing what it's like, and given that it was Cage Fighter, I was like, what better fit for me to test these waters? And I read through the script a little bit, and I had a Skype call with the director, liked me a lot. I read in for the part, and they liked my read. And sure enough, you know, I got the part, I got the role, and joined forces with my man Chuck Liddell and everyone else. Really, really good people on the cast, good crew, fun time.
Have you been bitten by the acting bug? Is this the first of many films we'll see you in?
I don't know if I've completely been bitten, but it was a fun experience. I still have like some other things left to do. Fighting, I still feel like I want to fight more. And I don't want to take away too much from that right now. Maybe down the line, fighting, acting, it's fun. Just depends on the role, I think. You know, it's like playing something more realistic, I think, makes more sense. It's more fun. I don't like faking too much in life. I like doing real shit. So if it depending on the roles and how they play and what's what, you know, and who the cast may be, and could influence my decisions for sure.
How different is movie fighting from actual fighting?
It's a big difference depending on obviously what you encounter along the way. The guys had quite the match, Moxley and him, and there were some injuries that took place. The last couple of fight scenes I know were tough to get through for my man Alex. Took some beatings, and I think he tore his hamstring or something. It was bad. So he was fighting in there, trying to fight through the last scenes, not in the best condition.
This isn't supposed to be happening on a movie set. No one's supposed to be getting hurt.
Real injuries. Shit happens, you know. You're not supposed to get injured in professional wrestling too, right? But
this is true.
It happens, yeah.
Well, since this is a, you know, combat sport film, I mean, I'm curious to hear what you think is the greatest combat sport film of all time.
I mean, if you give, if you want my perspective as a child, it's Bloodsport.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if I go, I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but you know, you go back and watch it, I'm sure it might change a bit, you know, but I thought it was obviously Bloodsport was my jam. Got me.
I think Bloodsport's going to be on most people's list. I think Rocky's going to be on a lot of people's list as well.
Yeah. I'd say so. I thought Warrior was pretty good for something current. I thought that it was pretty well done. Decently well done.
Well, and this one as well. Have you seen it yet?
I've seen it, and I'm, and it's like a countdown show. It's like it's kind of a different vibe, a different feel, and I got into it. What'd you think? I might have a skewed perception, but I liked it. I think it was a very interesting, you know, angle and perspective on how to shoot it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And John Moxley was like incredibly unlikable in the film, which I think means he did the job right.
Character, yeah. I didn't get any set time with John, but he seemed like a good dude. He seemed like he can play his role for sure.
You know, when you look at everything that you've done, including fighting, but everything else, you're like a modern day Renaissance man. Like I'm on your Instagram and you're wrestling steers. Like I feel like there's nothing that you won't do.
Yeah, that's pretty much the pretty much it. I don't know. I whatever is challenging in life, I'm not comfortable in my comfort zone. You know, so if I find the most challenging things in life, and I think that brings out true character. And in so many ways, some for better, for worse. But you know, hey, if it's exciting, it's challenging, it's scary, I want to do it.
Is this like the way you've always been? Or is this something that as you went into your teenage years, you're like, you know, I'm going to start taking some more risks?
I think it came on pretty early. You know, I think for me is the biggest thing was like judo. I did judo when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I started training in the kindergarten. And it's like kind of the first time like being, you know, being out of the protection of your parents and put on a stage in competition against another kid and him, you know, belittling you and beating you up and like putting you in like, you know, schoolyard choke, throwing you in your head. It's like, I remember it hurt like I've never felt anything in life. And all I wanted was redemption. And I think it's been built into me since such a young age that I always wanted to fight back and succeed and be the best at whatever I did and, you know, do whatever was hardest. I don't know. I was always antagonizing my brothers and their friends and take my lickings and come back and just keep going, just keep fighting back.
Even though sports may have taken a little bit of a break in 2020, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. And right now, Indeed is offering listeners of our show a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. And the wait is over, my friends. We finally have football again. Now, you may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off by wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. You can do it all day, every day. So head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Growing up here in California, you were in like a really athletic family. So what was your best sport growing up and what was your worst sport growing up?
I did just about everything growing up. I mean, maybe if I would say anything, maybe baseball.
All right.
Baseball, the only comp team I didn't make.
But, I mean, I know you're a surfer. I know that there's surfing in your family. Was that ever, you know, MMA wasn't really a thing when you were younger. Did you ever think about surfing being a profession for you?
I mean, like for a brief moment, I wrestled through junior high and high school, and there was no professional outlet in wrestling. There was no money to be made, and just torturous college wrestling. And I've been to like the extreme wrestling camps in high school, and I knew what college was going to be like. And I kind of got screwed, but towards the end of my high school career, so I knew it wasn't going to be wrestling. I'll tell you that. I was like, there wasn't anything going on, no money to be made. And I was going to put myself through that. And he didn't really foresee fighting as like the avenue, you know, to expand to. But yeah, surfing, skateboarding. I was better at skateboarding, honestly. It's pretty good at a certain point. And I started doing jiu-jitsu after high school, and I started getting better and better. And I thought I was just, you know, going to – earlier I thought I thought about fighting. When I was a young kid, seeing the voice Gracie, I was like, I want to do this one day. I want to do this. And kind of drifted out. And then jiu-jitsu kind of brought it back in. And I started winning big tournaments in jiu-jitsu and seeing how prevalent jiu-jitsu was in fighting, knowing my wrestling background and knowing the fact that I could street fight quite well. And I didn't mind getting punched and throwing punches. So I finally put it together.
You know, since we mentioned it earlier and you talked about wrestling here, what kind of technique goes into wrestling a steer?
More than I know. I did it 2 years in a row now. I took second place 2 years in a row by 1 second. I don't think they want me to win this as an outsider coming into Montana. I think they have something against me. They penalized me 10 seconds. I flipped the bowl in 3 seconds last time. And I ended up losing to another guy who flipped it 13 seconds. I was like 13 with the 10-second penalty. So, I mean, you gotta hold the bowl, and then you can't really hold it. You can't lock on the neck until you get out of the chute. You just gotta flip the bowl to its back. So you gotta expose its back, kind of like wrestling. And it's just a rotation kind of, you know, suplexing kind of style. I don't know. You gotta have some big balls. Yeah, have some fun with it. You know, there's nothing scarier than bull riding. For me, it's like those guys are the biggest gangsters in the world. To get on top of a bull, I mean, I'm big. I'm a big guy, and I'm gonna go that route. As steer wrestling, it should be my thing, as more so than getting on a bull. So I'm gonna take that route. I'm gonna take the easy way out off of getting on that bull.
is steer wrestling anything
those
like
bulls, those bulls are scary.
Scary, is it anything scary, like wrestling scary. A person?
I mean, there's some transfer, but I mean, it's all feel for sure. You know, just flipping the thing. So hold on and get mean and get nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I could ever do that. It just looked incredibly impressive what you were doing.
Yeah. It's a wrestling match with the bull.
It's a wrestling match with the bull. Although I'd say you won.
For all the people that want to knock it, I mean, bulls just are just like dogs. They fight each other. They have fun fighting each other. I mean, what's the point of a, you know, a little 200-pound man up against a 500-pound bull? I mean, you think it'd be fun for the bull, right? For all the haters out there.
You know, keeping with this Renaissance man thing, I was so blown away when I saw that you started modeling, and then I saw your campaign with Ralph Lauren, which, I mean, I feel like you're the perfect person for this, but there's not a lot of MMA guys that I think could pull this off.
Pull off a lot of things that nobody else would do. So what else are we here for if you can't do things that somebody else can't? You know, kind of drives you to live a little bit, right?
Was that something that you pursued? Or did they pursue you for this?
I mean, I think I fell into conflict with negotiations with the UFC and trying to big dick me and trying to fuck with me after I lost the title. And I wasn't one to be dicked around, and I just used it as an outlet to leverage myself to get me more respect, you know, in negotiations. And fucking did. Damn right I did. I mean, given the way that Dana and they were treating me, I was out to gain my respect and just not rely upon them. Too many people rely upon them, and that's why the MMA is in its current state, because they dictate, you know, they only give as much as they want. Not, you know, people need to know their worth. If you don't know your worth, someone's going to tell you your worth, and it's going to be less than your worth. And that's something that everyone should always live by. And then the fight game. Fight game is fucking corrupt, gangster, cutthroat world. And these motherfuckers aren't here to, they don't got your back. The guys are pieces of shit and negotiate on the other end. And you got to fucking come with a big dick and a big pair of balls.
With all this said then, you know, why go back?
I love fighting, and I think there's unfinished business, and I've, you know, there's a couple of good people behind the scenes, and I don't have to deal with certain people, certain person anymore. So it's always nice when you don't see eye to eye with one person, but there's it's changed a bit, and there's other people in power and people that can move numbers. So I have a good relationship with one or two, and you know, maybe one I don't have a good relationship with.
Well, again, Cage Fighter is in theaters now and available on demand now. Luke, thanks for taking us for a ride with you today.
Yeah. Well, Lucy, you got my girl over there. My pleasure. Right.
Thank you so much. Bye. Appreciate your time. All right. Well, there we go, my friends. He's just such an interesting guy. I mean, he looks at something that he wants to do and goes, oh, I'm just going to go do that thing now. And this was definitely a first for me, recording an interview while someone was driving on the freeway. Snap a screenshot. Let us know that you were along for this ride with us. Tag me on Instagram. I'm at Chris Van Vliet. Tag Luke. He is at Luke Rockhold. And I'm very curious. Very curious to see what his next UFC fight will be once he's healed up and he's ready to go. Who do you think it's going to be? I wonder. And if he gets a win or two under his belt, does he get a title shot? Let me know what you think. As Frank A. Clark once said, if you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere. Be great. Be grateful, my friends. We will see you on the next episode. We got a couple good ones this week. Sadie Gibbs and Chavo Guerrero. We'll see you soon.